James chapter 5. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And what we just sang, isn't it? Take it to the Lord. Give him prayer. Is any married? Let him sing songs. Again, to combine those two things. Affliction, we take it to the Lord in prayer. If we marry, we sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Seems like James has a lot to say about prayer, right? In chapter 4, for instance, verse 1, he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? He says, ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because you ask not. What is it? Ask not, he's talking about prayer, right? You ask, he says, and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. All kinds of thoughts about prayer here. But I want us to just think for a moment about verse 16 and 17 and 18 then of that fifth chapter. Oftentimes, Elias or Elijah, the Old Testament name, is set forth before us as an example of prayer and how, if you will, to have your prayer answered. He says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, if it's effectual, it is going to avail much, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Those two things are really synonymous, as far as I can tell. If your prayer is effectual, then it's going to avail much. And if it avails much, it's because it was an effectual prayer. If it doesn't avail anything, then you know it's not an effectual prayer. But what makes it effectual? That's the question. What makes it effectual? Is it how, again, he says, fervent prayer. Can you pray fervently enough that it's going to guarantee that your prayer is going to be effectual? might even ask the question, what makes for a fervent prayer? Is it the length? Well, we know that that's really not so, is it? Because the Lord warns us about, you know, vain repetitions in prayer. He even tells us, you know, that gives us an example of, you know, the Pharisees and they go out on the street corners and they pray long prayers. Most of the time, though, they evidently were just repetitious. Some think that because the prayers are long, that's going to be somehow effectual with God. But I submit to you that oftentimes the shortest prayers are the most fervent and the most effectual. It's what is in the heart that counts. It's not what's in the head, but what in the heart that counts. Sometimes, again, it's just a sigh, isn't it? For instance, in Ezekiel chapter, I believe it's chapter 9, it says in verse 1, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even very every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a rider's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that do what? That just sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Sometimes it's just a sigh. Sometimes it's just a cry. In fact, sometimes you don't even know what to pray for.
Amen.
We're told that in the apostle tells us that God, the Holy Ghost, prays for us with a voice that cannot be uttered. Yeah. How important is that? At the very best, we don't know quite how to pray. How fervent should our prayers be? How can we make them fervent except the Lord himself enter in and again sanctify that prayer according to his own will?
Yeah.
Now, I don't care how fervently you pray. Don't care how effectual you think that you're praying. If it is not according to God's will, then what is going to be accomplished? Now this is the thing, you see, that really made Elijah's prayer both fervent and effectual. Go back to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, course, it all begins back over in the 17th chapter. What are we talking about? We're talking about when Elijah met with those 400 prophets of Baal, of course, along with King Ahab, up on Mount Carmel. And what happened there?
They prayed fervently.
Yeah. But first of all, Elijah had prayed that it would not rain, as we just read over in James chapter 5, for 3.5 years there was not a drop of rain.
Yeah.
I saw something, I forget whether it was this morning or yesterday. Anyway, somewhere I saw there's some place they said it hadn't rained for 500 years. I don't know.
In the desert.
No, I think it's in the salt flats in Chile, I believe it was. But anyway, that just struck me. 500 years. It's a long time not to have any rain, you know. But for 3.5 years, that's a pretty long time not to have any rain. I mean, what's going to live if it doesn't have any rain in 3.5 years? But Elijah had prayed, and that was according to the will of God, wasn't it?
Must have been.
It was. But then now, he went up on Mount Carmel, and they're going to have this contest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, the prophets of Baal, they prayed and they did all kinds of gyrations. They cut themselves and all of this going on, and there was no answer, right? That sacrifice that they laid out there, it just remained as it was. Elijah prays and fire comes down. And it consumes his sacrifice, and not only consumes the sacrifice, but it consumes the altar, and consumes the water, and everything around it. But the main point here is, again, that Elijah prays, and it rains. In the 18th chapter then, verse 41, he says, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Evidently then, God didn't answer the first prayer, right? Maybe it wasn't fervent enough. Again, how fervent do you have to get? How fervent do you have to be? But if you're a believer, every prayer is fervent.
Amen.
It comes from the heart. And it comes because, and we'll see this in a moment, it comes because God has provoked it. This is something else I think that we seldom ever think about, that because we can do nothing without God, that nothing includes prayer. Now, you know, you can establish some habits where you know, and some people do this, you know, because Daniel prayed three times in every day. You know, people think, well, that's the way to pray. Well, as far as I know, that's the only incident in the scriptures where someone prayed three times a day. But that was God working with Daniel. But as we go on here, verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Not very big. How much rain could be in a cloud as big as a man's hand? Well, if it's God bringing it forth, it could just rain and rain and rain. It could rain 40 days and 40 nights, couldn't it?
Yeah.
But he goes on and he says, and he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, again, what made the prayer then of Elijah fervent and effectual? Well, in order to see that, we go back to verse 36. It says, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. It's the word of God. If our prayers are going to be effectual, they're going to be fervent. They're going to have to be according to the will of God, the word of God. But what is the difference between the will of God and the word of God? Nothing. They're one and the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's nothing that God has said that is not his will. And there's nothing that is the will of God that God has not said. We have it all. And so the promise of Christ to the believers is that whatsoever you ask, how?
In my name.
Yeah, in my name. Now, of course, most people today think that all they have to do then is just end their prayer with in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what that means.
Mm-hmm.
What is in the name? It identifies the person, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It reveals the personality. The personality of Jesus was, thy will be done. I don't think Jesus ever prayed anything that was not according to the will of God. Even that prayer in Gethsemane, I believe, was directed by the will of God. What prayer are you talking about? Father, if it be possible, right? In other words, according to your will. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. reason that God answered Elijah's prayer is because that he put that prayer in his heart and in his mind. So it is today. Now, again, we ask for a lot of things, don't we? That God does not grant. We may pray fervently, both in the spirit and in the length of time. Is there anything in your life today that you have been praying for a long time? But what if it's not his will?
Well, no.
Then it's not going to be granted. You know, it was David's great desire to build the temple of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the will of God, was it?
Right.
Well, it may not be the will of God to grant my request. And then sometimes, though, it may be that God will grant our prayers. He will grant our requests after we're gone. I have no doubt whatsoever that JT and my parents and grandparents, they probably prayed for us and never saw, at least our grandparents in particular, that they never really saw what God has done for us. But I don't have any doubt that they prayed for us. So what makes an effectual, fervent prayer? It's the Spirit of God in us. Now some things, again, that we pray for that God may not ever grant may not be wrong in themselves.
Right.
There again, the old Dorothy, my old Lutheran pastor, used to say, you know, sometimes God answers our prayers by saying no.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. But if he does, it's because we have not prayed according to his will. Now again, it may not be wrong. But it's just that it's not according to God's will. In which case, you know, we always pray with this fervent attitude of not my will,
right,
but thine be done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is God going to always answer that kind of a prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely. And in the model prayer, what do we find?
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again, that I'm afraid that a lot of praying is more superstition than it is belief. Because the understanding is, well, again, just as long as I end it within Jesus' name, that's going to make it incumbent upon God to answer that prayer the way that we have prayed it. Or, again, maybe if we bombard, have you ever heard that term used in connection with prayer?
It's got to be a popular thing that all the prayer warriors, they say, get them all together.
Get them all together. Bombard heaven with prayer, and God's going to have to,
That's his mission already. They think God's not going to answer their prayer.
Yeah, and that's what our text said. The affection fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray one for another, and that we all ought to pray for one another. But we really ought not have to go around asking, should we? Birthplace, but we need to understand that God does not answer because of our much speaking. And we can do that as individuals, or we can do that as a collective. And if we think that God is going to answer just because there's a lot of people praying, we've misunderstood. If I love you, I pray for you. Sometimes I wonder, though, how do these people that have a prayer list, if I prayed for everybody, I mean by name, that I love, I wouldn't have time for anything else. And sometimes I do pray for people by name, but I don't have a prayer list. But I do pray for God's people every day. More than once every day. And I believe God answers my prayer. But I think he answers the prayers of many of his people that are praying for the same thing and never even knowing it. I really think that if God answered every prayer that I prayed, I might get a little bit of a big head. No, God does hear our prayers, but he answers according to his will. And that will always be in that always to be our attitude. Again, if thy will be done. If you will, O Lord. And again, I know what God can do. There's no question in my mind, in my heart at all about what God can do. But sometimes my understanding of his will is not perfect. But he hears. And in one way or another, he does answer every prayer that we pray. What a wonderful thing it is that we have a way open unto our God and our Father, who is our Lord and our Savior, through Jesus Christ. May we go to him today in prayer. Yes, pour out your heart. Pour out your heart unto God. Whatever he gives, he puts upon your heart. And who knows? If it be his will, it will be done. If it is not his will, then we don't want it to be done anyway.
Right.
Because it would be counterproductive. And it would be simply that he was no God. You understand that, don't you? If we could pray something and it would be answered contrary to his will, he would not be God. So let us rejoice in the fact that God answers all prayers according to his will and according to his word. And God bless our prayers this evening.
All right. Our most kind and gracious Father in heaven, we come to you because you are full of grace.
Amen.
We ask Heavenly Father that, first of all, that you might teach us to pray.
Yes.
And that you might hear us when we do pray.
Amen.
And Lord, may we forever go about with a prayer on our heart.
Yes, amen.
Not one that's outwardly seen and heard, but one that is always there.
Yes.
Asking for your grace. We pray, Heavenly Father, first for your church.
Amen.
It might be strengthened, it might be comforted, that it might be edified by your word, Lord, and that your word might come to it with power.
Amen.
Lord, that it might be brought to a state of repentance, and then it might grow unto your glory. And Heavenly Father, we pray for our people that they too might be enlightened.
Yes.
That we might see, Lord, your grace, that it might be visible to us in ways that we have not seen before. Lord, that we might also grow in that grace when we have seen it. Lord, that we might be servants that would be worthy of their hire. We ask it now, Heavenly Father, for our people here. Lord, that we have too might be comforted in this place, that we might rely more and more upon you and turn away from the beggarly things of this world unto you, that we might be made to sit in heavenly places as we do worship you. We, several that were sick, it has been mentioned even this day.
Yeah.
Lord, we don't know what you would have for them, but we pray once again that they might be care for them, that they might be restored, that they might also bow the knee unto you. Now bless, Lord, each time that we're assembled. Lord, bless our people that we might have further understanding, that we might also glorify you here in this place. Now, Lord, I thank you for all the grace that you've shown unto me. Many things that we have that we would not have, Lord, if you hadn't provided for them. We understand you on the cattle on a thousand hills, and we come, Lord, with nothing, because we have nothing except Jesus Christ himself. We thank you, Lord, for the veil that was rent, that we might come in unto that place, the most holy place, even in thy presence, Lord. In all these things we ask and thank you for, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our Father, our God, thank you for this day, and thank you for the words that we've heard. We thank you for, Lord, that you brought us together.
Yes.
You began a work in us years ago.
Amen.
You've grown us in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that you are a God who delights in communing with your people.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord, we know that you are to be worshipped and adored. And Lord, we know that you are holy and righteous in everything that you do, which to us is such a wonderful thing to think about. And Lord, the only reason we can think about that in the things of God is because you have given us your Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
And Lord, there is really nothing more interesting, there's really nothing more satisfying, nor better way to redeem the time than to be thinking on the things of God.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And wanting to please you. And Lord, we struggle because we get drawn away by the flesh.
Lord,
we get drawn away by deceit. And Lord, we come to you because we know that none of those things are in you. And Lord, we know that we can trust your word.
Yes.
And we do know that you will open up your word to us more and more through other men, as well as continuing to read your word. And Lord, what a delight it is to know that at any moment we can call upon you.
Yes, Lord.
We can worship you silently. We can worship you collectively. We can, and Lord, you know the thoughts and intents of our heart.
Amen.
That are going to happen tomorrow.
Amen.
And the next day. And another year from now. You already know those things. There's nothing that we can hide from you. And Lord, I pray there's nothing we want to hide from you.
Amen.
But that, Lord, we truly would be completely honest and open and to seek you, to know what you would have us to do. And that we would do that. And nothing more. And nothing less. And Lord, I thank you. I've been here now almost 10 years or so. And Lord, it was all of you.
Lord,
I came here. Just as it is in all the things of my life and everybody else's life. It's all a and knowing that that is the truth.
Yeah.
And that if there are things we pray for that do not come to pass, it well may be that you're protecting us from what we're asking.
Yes.
Lord, absolutely. But Lord, I pray that you would give each of us that we'd be content with what we have, that we would wait on you, and that we would trust you in all things. And Lord, we know, and we talked about it this morning, that as the world continues to leave off with you and move further away from you, there will be more and more sin and more things that will distress us.
Yes.
Lord, but we can prepare for that by knowing that you are bringing these things to pass for a holy and righteous purpose.
Amen.
And that for us to look up for our redemption drawing nigh. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the days that are coming up upon us. I pray, Lord, that we will continue to think on these things and that we will commune with you throughout the week, and that you'll bring us back next week and once again worship you collectively, to sing the hymns and to hear your word preached. We thank you for all things. We thank you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this particular day. Yay, Father, for every single day that you've given unto us. Father, we look forward to heaven, to be with you every single day.
Yes.
And we pray as we open your word, Father, that you will speak to our hearts, that thy Spirit will guide us, give us strength and peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the music that we've had, that we sung today, and for all of the words of from thy scripture, Father, that we've heard proclaimed, Father. We just thank you for them. Dear Heavenly Father, we do have many problems and situations of life.
Yeah.
And Father, we have, we cannot go alone.
Amen.
Without thy strength, without thy guidance. And Father, we pray that you would guide every single thought and every single word that we go forth with, Father. And we pray that we would be your servants. We pray, Father, that whatsoever comes, that whatsoever we're faced with, Father, that we would know, dear Heavenly Father, that you have guidance for us.
Yes.
And dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to go with us this following week, Father. We have many different situations, many different problems, and we need your guidance. We need your word. Father, we need your strength. Father, we cannot go alone without these things, Father.
Yes.
We just ask you to be with every single person here, Father. We pray for them, for each person here. Father, there has been many illnesses within this congregation, and Father, we know that it's to serve your purpose for some reason. We don't always understand that purpose.
Amen.
But Lord, we pray for the healing. We pray for the strength. All according to your will, Father. And if there's one thing about this church body here that we desire, that it might increase with numbers, Father. We don't know what your intentions are for us here, Father. We pray, Father, that folks will come in from out of this community here, and yea, Father, from maybe all of the town and all of the community and all the counties and all of the state, Father, may they come here to visit with us here, and that you might give them instruction and guide them here, Father. We need to worship with them. Father, they need to worship with us.
Yeah.
And dear Heavenly Father, forgive us of all of our shortcomings. And Father, we just pray that wherever we go and whatever we might do, that it might please you and glorify you. We pray all of these things in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, thy beloved Son, whom we have nothing except for thy Spirit, except for thy goodness, except for whatever you might have us involved with, Father, whatever purpose we might have to please you and glorify you, Father. We pray all of these things in the wonderful name and blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we come to thee, yes, in the name of Christ. We always come in the name of Christ.
Amen.
We cannot come any other way except in his name. He has gone before us, Lord, and sits at thy right hand. He has entered in that which is within the veil. The Lord, he rent that veil and Lord, opened the way for us to come before thee, and he's taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's taught us to pray for our daily bread. He taught us to pray to be delivered from temptation and from evil. He's taught us, O Lord, to pray all things, O, according to thy will. We have your word, and we know from that standpoint, that aspect, we know what thy will is. We can read it, and we do read it, and we meditate upon it. And Lord, we want the same things that you want, all things that are according to your will. Our whole purpose of being your people, your sons and your daughters, is to fulfill that purpose for which you have called us and bought us with the blood of Christ. We want that. We don't know exactly how much we may attain unto that in this life, O Lord. When I look at my own life, sometimes I have to wonder, am I accomplishing that, or are you accomplishing that in me? Sometimes, Lord, we feel like we're destitute, that nothing is really happening in our lives. And we wonder, again, what the purpose is for which you call us. But Lord, then we're made to remember, I'm made to remember, that what you have really called me for is to worship you. There are many other things that go into our lives, our service unto thee. But the bottom line, Father, is that you've called us to worship you. Thank you that you do use us to be a witness unto the power of your glory, the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, one of the things that I think I understand, that in these days and times, when we are admonished that we ought always to pray and not to faint, and yet when the Son of Man comes, the question is whether he will find faith on the earth. Lord, just to remain faithful in our belief of thee and of Christ, Lord, just to remain faithful in that is a wonderful, great accomplishment that can only be done, only be accomplished through the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are told explicitly that evil will be so prevalent, and it will look so, so much like the real thing, like the real faith. It'll be so much like that, that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect of God. The only way that we can escape these things, we're told that if we receive the mark of the beast, Lord, that everyone that receives that mark is doomed. But Lord, how to avoid receiving that mark, because Satan is he is subtle. Mm-hmm. And Lord, he is very wise as far as evil is concerned. Mm-hmm. And Lord, who are we? We're told that those that do not believe are taken captive of him at his will. And Lord, that's a scary thing. We're told that he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. So Lord, that just to be kept as you have promised to do, as Peter writes in his epistle, be kept by the power of God. Lord, that is a great and a marvelous word. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we acknowledge that and rejoice that you are so wonderfully sovereign. Mm-hmm. And so almighty. And so we are told that he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. So Lord, give us boldness in this day of troubles, and Lord, establish us in the grace and in the faith of Jesus, Lord, that we might stand. Having done all, the apostle says, to stand. How great is thy faith? The faith of Jesus. And it's that faith that always abounds within us. And we're thankful again that we are told that we are always, always victors in this warfare that's going on. So Lord, keep us, establish us, guide and direct us in all things, both with your word and your providence. Lord, for we know no other way but your way, and your way is the only way that leads us into heaven. And we do pray for one another. Oh Lord, we're not just one person, one being, but we are a body in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray for one another. We pray for one another here. Pray for my son and his family. I don't know where they are today, but I know where they ought to be. I pray that you will convict and bring them where they ought to be.
Amen.
And others, our whole being, every being here, has the same prayer. We all have loved ones that should be here. And if they're not here, they should be in a place that is expounding the truth of your word, your beauty and the glory and the praise of it. And yet they're not. But we do pray for them, because we know that you are the almighty sovereign God, and that you not only will, but you must bring every single soul that you have elected unto salvation out of the darkness of this world into thy marvelous light. Mm-hmm. This is our confidence. And then, Lord, we do pray for those that are ill, those that are sick. Lord, you can heal them if it be your will and according to your purpose in Christ. Sometimes, O Lord, though, even the death of your saints is precious to you. They're precious. And Lord, sometimes those can be a greater witness than all of us that remain alive. And then, Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for. We're thankful for every one that you have touched with your healing hand in the body as well as the soul. And Lord, we just bless and praise you for everything that comes because it is a gift of thee. And it comes in the name of the Lord Jesus as the one who has lived and suffered and died. And yet he is alive. He rose again from the dead. And he sits at thy right hand, and we rejoice that he must rule until all enemies are put under his feet. Lord, his enemies are our enemies. And so we have this consolation that you rule through Christ Jesus in all the affairs of men, and nothing will be left undone, but it will all be to the praise and the honor and the glory of thy name in Christ. Now, Lord, dismiss us, I pray, with thy blessing. Help us to go through this week rejoicing, glad rejoicing, but also, Lord, bowing in deep reverence before thee, knowing that without thee indeed we can do nothing. Just perfect your promises in us that we may indeed be conformed to the image of Jesus as the firstborn above all brethren. Thank you for him, and it is in his name that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God that he does direct our paths. Would you want it any other way? No matter what has happened or what will happen, you could not want it any other
Amen.
Way.
Amen.